Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success.
Hey, it's
Take It From The Iron Woman. We're beyond honored. We have Seth Godin with us today. We don't need an introduction. Welcome, Seth. And I know when I took the podcast fellowship in 2019, you said at our commencement speech, when you are at 200 episodes, please send me an invite. We are here. We have you here as a guest. Thank you so much, Seth.
Well, I'm happy to help. And I'm not really an adequate prize. The real prize is the satisfaction that you get from showing up over and over again to help make a difference. I wish I could be on every podcast, but I can't. But I'm happy to do this with you today.
This is fantastic. Yeah. And I just want to tell a little story how I found Seth Godin. I did research when I was writing my first book, and I saw the Purple Cow book in the bookstore in Barnes & Noble's on 116th Street. And I was like, I'm not a marketer. I didn't dare to touch that book because I felt like, no, this is not for me. And then somebody gave me actually the book, your book, the What to Do When It's Your Turn. And thank you so much. I felt like you wrote that for me and you were pointing your fingers to me. And also the same with the tribe. We need you to lead us. These are the moments when I was like, I think this is something for me. And then I started the podcast fellowship and I also did the Alt MBA. Certainly great learning from you. But what I'm certainly interested in is when you started Akimbo, what was the intent when you started Akimbo?
Well, first I need to ask, do you ever go to the Hungarian cafe across from the Riverside Church?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. I've never seen you there. Can we have coffee there soon?
Yeah, I haven't been in a long time. I mean, the world has changed quite a bit in the 2 years since you started Akimbo. I don't run Akimbo anymore, but I started it because when a medium changes, our culture changes. And we had school in a certain way for a certain reason for a very long time. Because the only way to teach people something was to put them in a room together and talk at them. And the internet has changed that forever. And I wanted to model a different way of learning and teaching. I wanted to build it the best way I knew how. I wanted to help people who were enrolled in the journey to level up and to make a difference. And 25,000 students later in 75 countries, it has clearly worked. And it's being copied by companies around the world, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, we're very grateful. And I call it the Akimbo family. It feels like there's so many great people around the world. And I'm speaking from Switzerland at my mom's house. You can only do that with the internet. You cannot bring, obviously with the pandemic, you cannot bring the people from around the world into one room. So the internet certainly has helped us.
Correct. That's a great way to say it. You know, the thing is, it's easy to keep track of all the negative changes and to just take the positive changes for granted. But it has eliminated time and space in so many ways. And that is showing us some of the worst of humanity, but it's also creating enormous possibilities.
Yeah, and around the globe, right? When do I ever meet a person in Cambodia or somebody in Australia? Yeah. It's just possible because we have the internet and we are connected. And our Akimbo group, Maria, David Nabinski, Brandy, I just have a whole list of them. We actually still meet every month and it's just enriching to see what everybody brings to the table in the podcasting world.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's really great. So we're very happy. What I also want to know from you is networking. I follow you, obviously, with your daily blog, with your many best-selling books. Now you're in the circle of Marie Forleo, Sir Richard Branson, Chip Conley, Jacqueline Novogratz. Can you tell us a little bit, how did you get there?
I'm not sure. I think of myself in as, I'm not sure those circles overlap. So I met Chip when I was 23 years old, and it was sort of random, and we both found each other in a really useful way. I met Jacqueline at a conference, and I saw that she was going to change people's lives, including mine. I met Sir Richard at his place, and I don't think he belongs in the same category as Jacqueline or Chip. I mean, he's been in a rocket ship, but he's more self-focused than the other people on your list. And that works for some people, but for me, it's the sort of positive cycle of generosity of people who are focused on leveling others up that inspires me. And Marie, of course, is a very special human. I've known her for years. And I don't think of any of these people as different than you. They just are known by more people.
Oh, it's very nice to say like this. But how did you meet, for example, Marie Forleo? So she reached out to you, hey, you have a new book, can I interview you? Or how did that relationship start?
I have no idea. I think that the people who have successfully created circles of people around them aren't trying to network. I know that Jacqueline doesn't try to network. I don't think Chip spends a lot of time trying to network. All of us meet lots and lots of people. And if you say, I need to go meet a famous person, it's not going to work. If you say, there's somebody I can be of service to, it may be that over time your network, I mean, when Chip's 23 years old and I'm 23 years old, neither one of us was setting out saying, oh, I think this person is going to be well known one day.
And it's what you create, right? And you mentioned generosity many times. So it's about helping others. And you always say lifting up others who are not as famous as whatever the people I mentioned now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the day I met Jacqueline, who's at the time her nonprofit had raised perhaps $1 million, which is not a lot of money for a nonprofit. I also met the Queen of Jordan and the co-founder of Google. And I haven't kept in touch with either of them because there's all these folks who want a piece of their day. And so they have a hard time sorting through it to build real relationships. And so I just want to encourage people not to try to trade a paperclip for a house. Don't try to network your way up. It doesn't serve you well. And you could spend your day doing something more useful.
Wise words. Creating a podcast or writing a book probably is a better way to spend your day. But still, you talk about Jacqueline Novogratz, and I read her book, The Blue Sweater, and I was enamored by that book. That was probably also one of my first steps into that world. And I went to the Appreciative Inquiry Conference in Nepal, and there I met a lot of people giving back. And it was just that power of uplifting each other. I think she's fantastic. And I know she was on Scott Perry's show, and I checked in there and she was late. And then we said, like, what happened? Apparently there was a fire in her house, so she couldn't get on. And she was on like 15 minutes late, but she was there. Even there was a fire in her house. So I think she's the real person to learn from. How can we get to the next level? I mean, like, you don't say we want to meet the famous people, but so now we know the Akimbo family. How can we become one of the top podcasters?
Well, I don't think that that's a useful goal. At least it isn't for me. I know how to make my podcast more popular, and I don't want to. And I don't think the goal is to outrank Marc Maron or Joe Rogan. I think the goal might be, how do I find listeners who would miss my podcast if I didn't make it? And then the second part is, how can I make a podcast that they would benefit by telling other people? Because if every time you do an episode, every one of your listeners gets you two more listeners, then within a year, you'll have 1 million listeners. And that's plenty. Mm-hmm. So if you've already got 20 listeners, what could you do in a podcast that would help those 20 people have a good reason, not because they care about you, but have a good reason to tell other people to listen to your podcast. You know, it turns out this week, Rick Astley's Rick Roll video hit 1 billion views on YouTube. And that took 11 years. It didn't hit 1 billion views because Rick Astley promoted it. He did it. He was sort of taken aback when it first became popular. People Rickroll other people, not to help Rick, but because it makes them feel special and because they then feel a connection to the person they just Rickrolled. Mm-hmm. And you can do the same thing with a podcast, not ironically, but genuinely, to say, how can I, you know, the podcast I made 3 years ago about sunk costs, people are still sharing it. Not because they owe it to me, but because if their friends listen to a sunk costs episode, they think their life will get better.
To make others' life better, right? It's not, it's like I'm a coach, so it's not about me. It's about me helping others to exactly. become better. I would like to talk a little bit about your books. Obviously, I've written many, and what I'm impressed, you started out and you self-published. You self-published at a time when nobody self-published. What was your kind of like intuition telling you then?
Okay, well, to get the history right, I was a book packager first. I did 120 books, of which I only self-published 4. So I knew how to work with New York City book publishers. And in the 1980s and 90s, that was the only way to make a book successful. You really couldn't afford to successfully self-publish. And then when I became a real author, I did 12 books with real publishers. So it was many years into this before I self-published. What I did when I self-published is I realized the expensive part, the hard part, the scarce part is a direct connection with your readers. If you have a direct connection with your readers, the New York City publisher doesn't add that much value. More than half the books sold are sold on Amazon. So you can get your book listed on Amazon tomorrow. That's not hard. Mm-mm. What's hard is getting people to find it. Yeah. And it's hard for you and it's hard for a publisher. So in these days, if I was starting out, I don't think I could get a New York City publisher to take a chance on me if I didn't have a following. If I were them, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So you build a following. And once you have a following, if you write something that will spread, maybe you don't need a publisher.
Yeah, that's true. And again, it's about the followership that you create. I love in your book, when it's your turn, it says at the very end, and I think that's what hit me, don't keep it, share it with somebody else. I thought that was so cool. And I actually gave it to somebody and she says, are you sure you want to share this book? And I said to her, it says it in the book. I think I heard your voice saying, telling me you have to share it with somebody else. That's a very cool message, marketing yeah. message, right?
But mm-hmm. Well, but that's not why you shared it. You didn't share it because I told you to. You shared it because your life would get better if you could talk about it with a friend.
Yeah.
And so I'm not asking anybody to talk about my work because I want to sell more of anything. I like it when people take the books and just give them away. I don't want them sitting on a bookshelf. I want them to have velocity. And that is, you know, the paradox of the internet is, as Tim O'Reilly said, your problem isn't piracy. Your problem isn't taking your stuff without people taking your stuff without paying. Your problem is obscurity that no one's noticing. So piracy is your friend, that if people end up spreading your idea, you do better.
Yeah. A friend of mine once told me when I said, I don't want to share my PowerPoint, he said, share it with anybody because nobody has your vision or your energy. That always stuck to me. I'm like, just take it, run with it. I always say, mention my name if you take my PowerPoint. That would be an ultimate goal of mine.
Well, it's interesting. I've never shared my PowerPoints, but that's not the reason. The reason is because if you take the PowerPoint and you think you've gotten what I deliver when I give a talk, you haven't satisfied anything. That's like saying, can I have your pencil? And thinking that you're then going to be able to write something useful. Mm-hmm. The PowerPoint is just sidekick.
Yeah.
And so what I say to people is, you're welcome to watch the video on YouTube, but no, you can't have my slide.
What I also think is impressive by you, you share so much, right? The blog is for free. And I heard you once say, people want to hear me talk, even though they have so much online that they can steal or use or whatever, but still people want to see you in person or virtually. They want to see and hear you talk.
Yeah, it's a souvenir, right? Mm-hmm. And what I've discovered is sometimes, you know, a classroom of 20 people will say, will you come visit our classroom? And I'm like, well, here's a video I made. Mm-hmm. Why don't you have everyone watch the video and then discuss it? And they almost never do. Because what they don't really want what I have to say. They want the status that comes mm-hmm. from getting the thing I can never get back, which is my time. And so that's creating a new kind of scarcity mm-hmm. that I think is fascinating. Keep making a ruckus.
I was waiting for that. Keep making a ruckus.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah. Take care. Thank you. Bye. This was Seth Godin. Thank you so much, Seth. Many more questions. What are your questions for Seth? How would you have prepared for this? Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday, every Wednesday. Don't miss out. They are interesting people for you, talking to you, enjoying, entertaining you, where you can learn from and grow from. Don't miss out. See you next time. Thank you.